This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can.
What it says I can.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
And not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
And not just a hearer.
And not just a hearer.
I am humble before the Lord.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that.
I know that.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by.
And hearing by.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Great God. Amen. Come on, let's give a little hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, we thank God. We thank God for our youth department. We thank God for all those who make it possible for our young people to come up and stand before you. And we thank God for her today. Amen. Take a lot of courage to stand up before an audience of people, but we thank God for his spirit, even in our young people. Okay, our scripture text today comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, verse 10. And the Bible says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. Somebody say uproar.
Uproar.
An uproar is an intense, you know, moment of excitement. An uproar, you know, as he entered. So it says here, the entire city was in an uproar as he entered. And some of them asked the question, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? You know, when I hear questions like that, I always think one of my favorite moves is The Equalizer. And every time, you know, Denzel takes somebody out, they always ask, who are you? They just ask a little bit different way here. They say, who is? Man, who is this that's causing this uproar? That's causing people to come and celebrate. Who is? So the question is, do you know who he is? Amen? You may be seated. You may be seated. We're going to try to have a little fun with this today. We pray that God will bless us. So we're going to just use this Palm Sunday to speak to you from a familiar thought. And I just want to call it the triumphal entry. You know, Palm Sunday in the Christian tradition is the Sunday before the resurrection, or as we commonly say, Easter Sunday. You know, it marks the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, where he was hailed and welcomed as their king. You know, they welcomed him by laying palm branches. That's why you have branches in your hands now, most of you, before him, and singing praises to him as he humbly rode in on a donkey. Now, riding in on that donkey, we can trace that back to Zechariah 9 and 9, because it is a prophecy that Christ was fulfilling when he rode into town on a donkey. And when we go back and take a look at Zechariah 9 and 9, we can learn a valuable lesson about Jesus' conduct and his character from what the prophet said about him when he talked about him as our humble king and Messiah. And see, as Christians, we must truly make him Lord of our lives as we follow him in this world that we live in. And it's important for us to understand when we read this that we can see some things that may help us to follow his example. Now, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the Bible says, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. What does rejoice mean to you? Think about that. Rejoice. Yeah, rejoice. You know, sometimes you got to show some delight. Show some joy. I know we come to church to be subdued, and I'm not trying to egg nobody on, but rejoice in your own way. Rejoice got to mean something. We can't just redefine words. Amen? Cry means cry. Rejoice means show some joy. Show some excitement. Act like you know where you are and who you worship with. You know, I know we come to be stoic sometimes, but the Bible here says, just read. Some of you who brackets are still alive. Y'all rejoice. You know, some of us Auburn fans. No joy. But so, see, just that little comment brought a smile on some of y'all's face. So that let me know, deep down on the inside of you, All of you know how to. It's a matter of your will to decide whether you want to rejoice in here or not. And everybody may not want to rejoice in here. But those of you who just got a little bit of rejoicing spirit, as we go on today, I want you to have a little bit of joy. And you know, we're going to see here when he came into the city, everybody didn't shout. But everybody took note of the fact that he was coming because of the folk who were. Oh, Lord, y'all going to help me today. So he says, rejoice, O people of Zion, O striving. O people of striving. Rejoice. Then he tells us to shout. Somebody say shout.
Shout.
You know, when I looked up shouting just the plain Hebrew, the way it's done, it's talking about you make noise that make people's ears split. He said, when you come to church, some people's ears ought to be. All because they heard Major go, holly. Some people's ears ought to be split. We come to church and everybody's ears dead. But when we come and rejoice, some people's ears ought to be. We know how to make folks' ears split. It's just that we don't always want to do that. And I ain't got no problem with that. But I just drop by on my way to heaven and say, don't stop nobody else. Because I do believe there's some ear splitters in here today. And all we need to do is just do what the Bible says sometimes and just rejoice. You know, let somebody know that you know who you love and who you serve. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of joy when you come to church. He says, shout in triumph, you know, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous. Somebody say righteous.
Righteous.
I mean, he's a just king. You know, he's a lawful king. But not only when we look at that characteristic, we should be righteous.
Yes.
If our king is righteous, we should be righteous.
Amen.
Then he says, he is
victorious.
Somebody shout victorious.
That
means, you know, he conquered some things.
Yes.
He win. He's a champion. And at the same time, he's second to none. And so therefore, if we know he's righteous and he's victorious, then we need to celebrate in that victory with him.
Amen.
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 He says, now get this. The next word is yet. So in spite of the fact that he's righteous and victorious, he is
humble.
He's humble. And he is riding on the king is riding on a donkey and on the donkey's coat. Now look at this. They were looking for someone to come in on a stallion. You know, because during that time, the Arabians and the Egyptians had the best horses in the world. They still got some of the best thoroughbreds in the, you know. Yeah, so they were available. But our Lord and Savior came in on a donkey's coat. And that image does not portray someone that most people think that was victorious. Because normally the victorious king came back in on a nice, fancy horse or in a chariot of some sort.
Yeah.
So what we got to learn from this, even though we know we are victorious, we still have to live a life of you. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't nothing like a humble champion.
Amen.
You know what I mean? When you're a champ, you don't always have to brag about it. Folk know it. You can just carry yourself like you're a champion. You just can live like you're victorious. You don't have to tell everybody you're victorious. Just live like you're victorious. Act like you're victorious. And when you do that, people will see that, and you don't have to say a word. Riding on a donkey. So now let me just say a couple more words again. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Now can we just, before I go to the next text, for those of you who don't mind splitting some ears.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Before I go to the next text, I know I said for those of you who don't
mind.
And for those of you who do mind. Because right now,
yeah,
for about 30 seconds, we're going to split some ears. Is that all right? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Get your palms in your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. We come to celebrate you on today, God. We come to magnify you. We want to split some ears in this place today, God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what an uproar looked like. That's what excitement looked like. Every now and then we just got to split some ears. Amen. Amen. All right, all right, all right. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Ain't nothing wrong with that, Faith. It's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's worthy of us splitting some ears. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Yes, Lord. We just want to split some ears. Hallelujah. We just want to split some ears. We just want to split some ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name today, God. We bless your name. Amen. Amen. Let me move on. Let me move on. We're gonna have another opportunity here in a minute. Glory be to God. So our King is humble. Our King is obedient. Our King is humble. And our King is obedient. And what we want to see here, and I love the way Paul in Philippians chapter 2 highlight Christ's humility and obedience as he was encouraging and exhorting the Philippian believers to have the attitude of Christ. He was using Christ's example to come against a spirit of selfishness and pride and strife that was, you know, disrupting the spirit of love, unity, and humility in the church. And he charged them not to look out only for their own interests, but to look out for the interests of others. Then he clearly articulates Christ's attitude, which should inspire us to walk in this spirit of humility and obedience as we serve the Lord. Now look at this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, you must have the same attitude. Somebody say the same attitude. Amen. Not another attitude, but he said the same. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. In other words, your thinking got to line up with his thinking. Your feelings got to line up with his feeling. Your mindset got to line up with his feeling. The same attitude that he had, you have to have. If you're going to be like him, you got to think like him. If you're going to be like him, you got to act like him. You got to have the same, not another attitude, but the same. The problem is we often bring other attitudes to church with us. We don't bring his. And we're supposed to bring the same attitude. We just got to talk about bless that name, right? Yeah. Well, we're going to see why we need to bless that name here after we read about his attitude. Amen. He says, now, you must have the same attitude that Christ had, Christ Jesus had. Look here. Through his attitude, we see this humility. He said, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In other words, I am God in the flesh. I was existed before time came. But even though now that I'm in the flesh, I'm not going to hold on to godness. In other words, I'm going to take on humanity. I'm still going to have divinity in me, but I'm going to live and function just like a man. In other words, I'm not going to cling on to something that will let people think that I can't live out this life in this human body. Even though I am God, even though I was there in the beginning and part of creation, but for this assignment, I'm going to humble myself. Amen. For this assignment, I'm not going to cling on to the things that I had when I was in heaven. I'm going to come down and act like human beings and act like a human being so that nobody can say that this walk can't be done. So that nobody will have an example or an excuse to say, I just can't do this. But we got an example that if we put our mind to it and take on the same mind that he had, we can do some of the same things that. So in order to be like him, you got to stop clinging to something. Amen. You may not have no godly attitude, but you got your attitude. Whatever your attitude was, his and was, and how you act and carry yourself, hey, you can't do that now. You got to put on. You got to have the same attitude that, man, can you imagine what the church would be like if all of us had that attitude and operated in that spirit of humility and obedience? Now look at this. Verse 7 says, instead of clinging on to what he had, he gave up his divine privileges. In other words, you know, now in the flesh, I can't be in all places at all time. I got limitation. I get tired. I get hungry. I get thirsty. You know, every now and then I got to do like everybody else. I got to rest. So therefore, I gave up some privileges that I had when I was in heaven to come down here to identify with man. And look here. And he took the humble position of a slave who was born as a human being. You know, we know how he was born. We know the Christmas story, this Mary's baby. Born in a manger. Mary's baby. Born in poverty and not wealth. Mary's baby, whose daddy was Joseph, just an ordinary carpenter. Mary's baby. And so therefore, he knew who he was when he was in heaven, but he humbled himself to become just like us. And being in the form of a human being, he thirsted, he hungered, and you know he got tired. So he appeared to us in human form. In human form. Look at this. He humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died as a criminal death. He died a criminal's death on a cross. That's a lot of humbling right there. And we see his humility led to his obedience. So the same thing applied to us. Are you going to humble yourself to God? And then are you willing to obey him until you die? Or is your obedience just a temporary step? It got a shelf life. I'm only going to obey him from 10 to 12 on Sunday. But are we going to put on obedience all the time? Are we going to walk in obedience? Are we going to live in obedience? And are we going to walk in that spirit of humility? Now, because he humbled himself and because he obeyed and died that criminal's death, we'll talk about that a little bit next week, and we know how he died on the cross. Then the next verse says, therefore, somebody shout, therefore.
Therefore.
Because of that, or for that reason, because of the fact that he humbled himself and he died a criminal's death, therefore, somebody say, God elevated. God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other. Look, God Almighty, God dignified Jesus and gave him a name that is above all other names. There is no name that is above the name. And so therefore, as long as we understand and know that, that's why we have to exalt that name. That's why we have to glorify that name, because there is no other name. He got a name that is above all other name. I don't care who people call on, their name is below Jesus. Amen. I don't care what form of worship you go, if you ain't calling on Jesus, you calling on a name. Gave him a name above all other names. Look at this. That at the name of Jesus, whose name?
Jesus.
At the name of who?
Jesus.
Say it like you know how to shout it.
Jesus.
He says, like, at the name of Jesus, every major your knee gonna bow one day.
Yes.
Jesse, your knee gonna bow. So I'm telling you, might as well get in practice now. Every now and then, you just need to humble yourself before the Lord, because one day, whether you want to or not, every knee is going to bow. Then he says, it don't make no difference whether it's the angels in heaven or the humans on earth.
Yeah.
And even those folks who are under the earth. Now, some say that may be the demonic world, or it could be the world, those folks who dead and didn't know him. It don't matter who it is. It say if you're on top of the earth, you're in the heaven, or you're underground. It just depends on how you're going to bow. Some of us going to bow in worship, you know, and exhortation and glorify him. Some of you are going to be bowing out of surrender because you done lost the battle. And you, everybody bowing, but the reason you bow is very important, Finley. It's one thing to bow because you know who he is and you humbling him and worship. It's another thing to bow when you done been, when you had to submit forcibly, because the Bible is clear. Every knee should bow. In heaven and on and under the earth. And look at this. I know, God. I hate reading verse 11 because it says, and every, somebody say tongue. Somebody say every tongue. Every tongue. Now, can we get a little tongue practice right here? Can I help some of y'all out right here? Because the Bible did say, is everybody here got a tongue? So that means that the only people that's exempt is somebody who ain't got a, whether you speak another language, you got to, I know that's upsetting. I know. See, y'all already use your tongue. I'm just trying to get you to use it to confess that Jesus. So now look here, let me be kind right here. I just want everybody in here under the sound of my voice to just say, Jesus is Lord. Now, some of y'all, I want y'all to split some ears when you say it. But everybody that got a tongue need to say it. Because the Bible say everybody's going to come. So you get some practice. This is Jesus Lord 101, entry level. Just say,
Jesus is
Lord. Say,
Jesus
is
Lord.
Now let's split some ears. Jesus
is
Lord. Say,
Jesus
is Lord. Oh, God. Now give him a wave off with your little palm. Let's wave at it. Because he says every tongue gonna confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God. When you make him Lord, see, the reason sometimes we can't say certain things that he requires of us, because we have not made him. See, y'all don't understand, Finley, that from his perspective, we're nothing but slaves. We're his servants. And so therefore, if he's Lord, Jesse, we don't have a right to talk back. We don't have a right, Brother Purdue, not to do what he tells us. slaves in the natural. Quit coaching them talk back. Bad things happen to them. So now I'm not trying to say Jesus is going to cut your foot off, but I'm just trying to say, now that you know that he is
Lord.
Can we say Jesus is Lord one more time? Jesus is
Lord.
He is Lord. And you need to know that because, again, that's going to help us answer the question. Because if you know who he is, in spite of all the commotion that's going on in the city, when someone asks the question, who is? Who that? You can shout out Jesus, because I know he is Lord. Oh God. Let's go back to the text. I'm going to take a look now again at Matthew chapter 21. And I'm almost done. I'm going to just kind of read 1 through 11. I've got some things I want to say. I hope it makes sense to you. He says, this is how Matthew records Jesus' triumphal entry as we celebrate our King and our Savior on this Palm Sunday. So in verse 1 of chapter 21, he says, and Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem. They came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, called the Mount of Olives because of the hill with a lot of olive trees on it, so it was called the Mount of Olives. Now look what Jesus, and we see some divine instruction here in 2 and 3. And the Bible says, Jesus sent two of them, his disciples, on ahead. Somebody, you know, in the military, we call that an advon team. You know, somebody go ahead and then, you know, you got instructions, certain things they have to do, and then they got to have same things ready when you get there. You know, certain things ought to be in place when the king arrives. You know, so therefore he sent them ahead. And look what he says. Now, y'all got to get this. Go into the village over there. He said, so the village over there for the classroom purposes is going to be the fellowship hall. Y'all know it's over. You can't see it because there's a wall and some doors, but you know the village is over. And now get this. What does he tell them to do? He says, go to the village over there, he said. And look, he says, at least as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there. Now look here, the donkey is already there. But because you're here, you don't see it. The fellowship hall is already there. Pastor Bolden is telling you there's a donkey in there. But while you're here, you will never see. In order to see the donkey, you got to walk by believing that what is said here is going to be over. And the reason some of you never get to where the Lord wants you to be, you still waiting to see what he told you you're going to see when you get there. And until you start walking, you will never see what God got in store for you, because he's not obligated to show you everything before you start walking. He's obligated to reveal to you things on your way, so that when you get to where you're going, when you get to your destiny, what he has in store for you is already. He says, now look, as soon as you enter it, the city, you will see a donkey tied there with his coat beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. Instruction. Then he give them a further instruction. If anyone, someone say anyone. If anyone asks you what you are doing, just say, the Lord. Somebody say, the Lord.
The Lord.
That one that we say Jesus is?
Yes.
Lord. He's just telling the Lord. The Lord needs them. You know, I figured, you know, I often heard say, the Lord don't need nothing. But that ain't always true. Right now, need just means that he needs something to fulfill a prophecy. He needs something that is necessary and essential for him to do something. So every now and then, the Lord does need you. There's certain things that he needs you to do. He needs you to spread the gospel, to evangelize. He needs you to serve him. Somebody else, well, he don't. Yes, he do. There's certain things angels can't do. So when he said, hey, when you get there, just tell them that the Lord, the sovereign ruler, need them. And then he says, when you tell them that, when they hear that word Lord, he will immediately let you take them. See, you got to have faith that you're going to walk in this town, walk up to somebody and say, hey, man, my master need your two animals there. See, I would never experience that if I never went through the Fellowship Hall door. If I was standing here waiting for the Fellowship Hall to come to me, I would never experience that. I would never see faith work out as long as I'm standing right here. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that sometimes you're going to have to walk your faith out without seeing every step you're going to make, because you just know the one who told you to walk will provide a way for you to. And what you need will be on the other side. Why? Because if he need it, he know that you need it. And if he needs you to do something, whatever he command you to do, he already know you got the capacity. You just need to operate in what? Good God Almighty. Now look at this. In verse 4 and 5, he says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, and I just read the prophecy, and they're going to kind of repeat some here. Tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's coat. We understood that and saw that. So now these people, most of them, had a misunderstanding of Jesus' kingship. See, some of them coming to church was looking for a sovereign ruler that was going to deliver them from the Romans and all the oppression that they was going through. They weren't looking for a king that was going to save their soul spiritually. They weren't looking for a king, some of them, that was gonna ensure that they had eternal life. They just wanted their here and now met. I'm looking for a king that can just get these Romans. And sometimes you're looking for your king to take something off of you that he ain't even concerned about. The things that he is concerned about are more spiritual than natural. They're more spiritual than physical. And so what you got to see is that, look, you got to see him as your king that is securing your eternal salvation. Amen. Some of the things that you need in this life, you can get without a king. Amen. Don't waste his kingship on a new car. Amen. Some of you got cars that didn't even know he was your king. So now that you know it, don't go and say, I need a car, king. No, king, I need you to show me how I got to live in your kingdom and what I need to do to make it to heaven. That's what I need your kingship for. Need your kingship to guide me, to direct me, give me the instruction that I need so that I can walk by faith and not by. Look at this. Corresponding obedience in verse 6 and 7. He says, the two disciples did. Somebody say did. See, you can be commanded to do something, but it don't mean you're going. Hey, amen. Come on, we ain't all been there. Your children have been commanded to do something. And sometimes they just don't. Because they don't understand obedience. They don't understand relationship. Yours as a parent and theirs as a. So when they don't do what you command them to do, then they are out of relation. Oh, God. Somebody say the two disciples. So that'll let y'all off the hook. Young said, he ain't talking to me. He talking to them too. So I let y'all off. But we need to learn from them too. Amen. Amen. So the two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They didn't take it personally. He was the king. All the king got to do is say. And when he say, people do. The king ain't supposed to plead with you, beg you. The king's supposed to tell. I'm talking about Jesus now. And so you're sitting here today, and I believe all of you have made him Lord of your life, then I'm just here to encourage you to start acting like he's your Lord. Stop talking back to him. Stop arguing with him. Amen. Just do what he tells you to do. Can I get an amen from more than Lisa on that one? We don't like that kind of talk in church today, because we grown. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Well, your master can. Your king can. So we need to follow these disciples' example. We need to do as Jesus commanded. Lisa said you got to love everybody. He ain't give you no option. I'm gonna try law. You just don't know the people that I have to deal with. Yeah, no, ain't got nothing to do with the people you got to deal with. I say you got to love. Amen. That don't go just for Lisa. That's go to all of y'all. That's go to all of us. Y'all just got to love some folk. Some folk that you don't like. You just got to. That's what your king said too. Now this tough one is that when he say, your king say every now and then, you just got to turn another. Something ain't worth talking about. Husband, wife, sometimes you just need to, you know, slap me one time, baby. That ain't spousal abuse. That's just trusting the word. Turn the other. Because if you slap her cheek, it's on. So you gotta take the chance that God knows what he's talking about. It takes two fools to fight. Make sure you're not one of them. Amen. I know Latham and I already taught y'all that in the marriage class. It takes two people to fight. So we learn to just follow Jesus' command, you know, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. We can make a difference in the world and in earth. But we can't do it if we won't be the light. We can't be light and continue to live like we're darkness. Amen. We can't influence the world if we turn our light off when we leave here. Amen. When you leave here, your light got to shine its brightest. Because you will have the most impact. In here, all y'all shining. Right now, this is 11, 12 o'clock hour. Everybody shining. Bright. And we nullifying each other out. But Pee-wee, can you imagine what you would look like if you walked in a dark room and you just started shining? You know the world is telling us to shine now. I'm just trying to tell you the Lord told you to shine before the world. So we'll shine for the world. I got to shine. I just want to shine. Why is it shine for Jesus? When people look at you and say, why are you shining? I'm shining for the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not hating on your shine. Get your shine on. But make sure you're shining for the Lord. Oh, God. So the two disciples did as he commanded. Look at this. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt. And he sat on it. In other words, they showed him the reverence and respect that he deserved as their king. They took their clothing off and put it, you know, they say this little coat had never been ridden. And so, you know, they ain't want their master just sitting on a naked coat. He just put some up there to, you know, soften it up. Some of y'all have been horseback riding before. You know, that backbone coming through that can hurt you sometime. Soften up. They didn't have no problem giving up something they had so that he can be treated like royalty.
Yeah.
What are you willing to give up for the Lord? What are you willing to give? Just think about it. Whatever the Lord show you, what are you willing to give up so that he could be glorified? So that he can seem like he's your majesty in your life. What are you willing to give up? And look at this. Somebody say in verse 8, it says, most of the crowd. Now it's determined when he say most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of them, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Most did that. And see, I don't know how to quantify most when you're in church. So when I look out there and say, everybody say praise the Lord, I'm just assuming most of y'all are saying.
Amen.
And I'll take most over what's not saying. Because I believe most see him worthy of praise. Most don't mind telling him thank you. Most don't mind and say, hey, you are my Lord. And I'm going to magnify you every chance I get. I did not come to church just to be entertained. I came to church to lift up your name. I came to church to let people know that you are Lord. And because you are Lord, you are worthy of mine. Somebody say most of the crowd. Somebody shout, I'm in the most. I'm in the most. Somebody, I'm in the most. I'm ready to split some ears because I'm in the most. The least can do what they want to do, but right now, Mike, I am in the most of the crowd. So most of y'all crowd, just wave y'all palm branches with me if you got it. Most of the crowd. Amen. 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 So get the picture down. Here he comes, these people waving and laying down. Waving and laying down. And that's why they say, look, it was a whole lot of commotion going on because Jesus was coming to town. And what I'm trying to say, when we come to church, something ought to happen every now and then. There ought to be a little bit of a commotion that takes place in church. Something ought to erupt. Some things ought to just explode. Why? Because we come to magnify our King. We come to lift up our King. We come to exalt. Every now and then. Every now and then, somebody got to know, hey, no matter what I'm going through, everything going to be all right. Because I know who I serve. I know who I worship. I know who I came to humble myself before. Every now and then, it's going to be all right. Fabian, in the Baptist church, they used to say that all the time. It's going to be all. I know it's going to be. Going to be all right. No matter what I'm going through, it's going to be. And while I'm going through, I might as well praise him like I know it's going to be all. I don't have to wait till the battle is over. I can shout now. I can tell him, Lord, I know it's going to be all right. Somebody say most of the crowd. And look at this. And see, because most of the crowd did that, look at this. In verse 9, it says, Jesus was in the... Somebody say the center. The center of the procession. In other words, everything revolved around Jesus. Jesus was the focal point. The reason we can't get things done in church is because he is not the center of attraction. Y'all come here and look at who's standing up here, and you can't get past that to see Jesus. And when you come to church, you got to make Jesus the center of attraction. And when I make him the center of attraction, I'm not doing anything for anybody else. I'm doing everything for him. My focus is on him. He is the center, not my wife and the fact that we just got through arguing in the car. No, Jesus is the center of attraction. All my focus, all my desire, everything that I bring to him is going to be on the table when I come to church because he is the center. He got to be the center of your life. You got to focus on him and not on you. You got to focus on him and not on your wife and your circumstance, your situation. Jesus got to be the. You go to a church and they don't talk about Jesus, but once a year or twice a year, he's not the center. There's no way you can go to church and never hear his name and they say he's the center. He is not. All these folk y'all listening to out there on television every week on iPads and on iPods and on podcasts and all that stuff streaming. Hey, look here. If they never mention the focus, if they talk to you for an hour and a half and they never say, you can't talk about the Bible for an hour and a and not find Jesus. If you understand how he fit through the Bible, you can know that he was Noah's ark. You can also know at least that he was Moses burning. He was Abraham's lamb in the bush, the ram in the bush. Joshua's battle axe. So if you understand the Bible, when you read it, you can find. And so any passage that I open up somewhere in the Old Testament, New Testament, I got to be able to find the sinner. Yeah, no, come on, come on. He said Jesus was in the center of the procession. And all and the people all around him were. They were doing what? They were doing what? See, we practiced that a few minutes ago. Now it's time to put into practice what we practice. Now it's time to do it because you understand what is going on. Now you understand why you got the palm branches. Now you understand the atmosphere that's supposed to be in this place because the king has showed up riding on a donkey. And so therefore now we're supposed to break out into some spontaneous celebration. Can we do that just for about 2 minutes? Can we take about 2 minutes? Y'all still got time. Y'all don't get out of here on time. It's just 11:08. Come on, get on your feet. Let's just take about a minute and a half. I'll give you a minute and a half where we shout, where we thank him, where we praise him, where we magnify him, where we exalt him, where we lift his name up above every name. I'm talking about Mary's baby, your Lord and your Savior. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because if you understand who he is, you don't mind shouting. You don't mind acknowledging him. You don't mind exalting him. You don't mind lifting him up above your cares because he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the center. The people were shouting and praising God because they understood who he was. They was praising God for the Son of David. They was praising God for sending them a Savior. They was praising God for sending them a King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praising God. Praising God. You're not praising Bolden. You're praising God. And you say, God, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you for letting him die for me. God, I thank you for making him the Lord of mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 All right, y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. We're good. We're good. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Just give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 So this is what it says. Verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. If we got to praise him in the highest heaven, we definitely got to praise him down here on this low earth. So he said, praise him. And this said, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. And they said, look, who is this? They asked. Right now, you ought to know who he is. And who he is depends on who you see him as. And if you see him as the true Savior and the Lord of your life, I guarantee your attitude will be different when it comes to serving him, when it comes to being humble and obedient to the word of God. It depends on who do you see him as in your life. If you don't see him as Lord, you're not going to live what he has placed before you. If you don't see him, it's easy for us to see him as Savior. Everybody wants a ticket to heaven. Amen. But nobody wants someone lording over them to tell us how to live here on. Heaven is not the problem. Earth is the problem. How are we going to live now that we have made him? So you know, based upon the lesson, you can't walk out of here today and be ignorant, say, I need another theological dissertation to understand what the Bible just said. I'm telling you, he made this plain. You ought to be able to answer this question for these folks. Who is this? Now that we done read and know the story, we can shout out who that was. And look at this. See, the crowd did not have what you have. Because listen how they say it. And the crowd replied, it is Jesus. They got the name right. The prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. That was just one aspect. But we know him as being more than a... Because if all he was a prophet, he's no better than Muhammad. No matter, better than any other person that religious group idolized. If all he was was a great teacher, then he ain't no better than Rabbi Hillel or whatever his great rabbi name. If all he was a teacher, if all he was a healer, then he's no better than those other healers who was going around in that day. But for us, we know him more in a better way than just being a prophet, than just being a teacher. We know him as the one who came from heaven, God in the flesh. We know him as Lord and therefore, that's why he go back and say, everybody's going to bow. Everybody's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You already know that. And it's your job to tell other people what you know because they just don't. No. So don't let them cut his story off at just being a prophet. He was a little bit better than Isaiah. A lot better than Jeremiah. A whole lot better than Ezekiel, Nahum, and any of the prophets that you know about, whether they were major or minor. So you got to know him in a greater way. And I'm done. Look, think about this. Then if all you see him as a prophet, then your obedience is going to be at the prophet. Y'all talk back to prophet. Prophet Bolden don't get no play. Y'all talk back. Man. Y'all like prophet. Hey, you go prophet. I talk back to prophet. I talk back to pastor. But when you see him as, what do you want me to do? Change your focus today. I want you to leave here today simply seeing him as Lord. Savior's easy. I want to give my life to you, Lord. I want to be baptized. I want to go to heaven. Lord is what you want me to do. And I can do it without talking. Because I don't talk back to my master. Those of you who got kids, you need to make sure that they don't talk in a negative way. And I ain't got no problem with them having their opinion and you having a conversation. I don't mind intellectual stimulation with your children. But when the command has been given, the conversation is over. We done converse enough. Now it's time for you to do what I said. We are past conversing with Jesus. The conversation is over. You already know what you need to be. So just like Nike said,
just do it.
Just do it.
Finley, you got that, don't you? You the switch guy. Just
do it.
Nike don't say talk back to me now. You put these on, just
do it.
So I'm telling you, when Jesus tells you to do something, just
do it.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.